Welcome to Deep Dive Genre. After graduating from high school, David Dietl gained a wide range of experience in the film business as an assistant cameraman, editor, and director. In 2001, he moved to Berlin to study directing at the DFFB. While there, he directed numerous short films and several documentaries and features. König von Deutschland, which David not only directed, but also wrote, was his graduation film and his cinema debut. His documentary, Berlin Bouncer, celebrated its world premiere at the 2019 Berlinale. His latest film, long story short, is in German cinemas in January 2025. We talked to David via video call for this interview. David Dietl, welcome to Deep Dive Genre.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Your newest feature, long story short, just played as the opening film at the festival in Tallinn to an enthusiastic audience. Can you tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a director?
Yes. Well, first of all, Tallinn was really great. We had an incredible screening, and I was very touched by how well the film was received. Also showing it the first time to an international audience. And I was very happy how well it transported, even with English and Estonian subtitles. Thank you very much to the festival, to German Films. It was a great experience. And, well, the journey that took me there started actually a pretty long time ago already. Because coming from a film family, my father is also a director, and my mother worked for a production company. I was early exposed to the world of films. So basically, my first experience was when I was 16 during summer vacation. I worked on a film that my father was producing at that time called Rossini. It was a very unique experience as a 16-year-old being at a film set, being able to suck in the special energy and experience of a film set. And that kind of triggered everything. And I thought, okay, well, if that's a profession to be able to tell stories, then I want to do that. Knowing that my father was a director, I thought my path is going to be cinematography. Got my own camcorder and started shooting short films with friends. And then I went to ARRI to learn to work with real film cameras. Was still film back then. We're talking end of the 90s. That was a good experience. And then actually I applied to different film schools for cinematography. And luckily that didn't work, because then I did a year as a guest student at the Munich Film School. And then I kind of saw that my path would rather be directing than cinematography. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to study directing at different German film schools, and I was taken by Berlin Film School, DFFB, Deutsche Film and Fernsehakademie in Berlin. And obviously Berlin, beginning of the 2000s, was the place to be, where everyone wanted to go.
Very true.
So, and I was happy to leave Munich and go to Berlin. And I had a great time in Berlin, living, partying, and studying a little bit. But also, because of this, my studying kind of took a bit longer than it normally would. But I had a great time. And I was pretty young starting to study. So I needed more than I needed to learn about film. I needed to learn about life. And so the time in Berlin was actually pretty good. And so I did my first long film, I think it was in 2006, out of film school. And then I decided I want to direct a feature film and I want to write the script myself, which kind of took me too long, I have to say. It kind of took me 5 years to put together the script and the financing. Obviously, if you come out of film school and want to do a feature film, you know, it takes some time to put everything together. But then I managed, so I directed my first feature film in 2012, which was, English title is King Ordinary, and German title is König von Deutschland. we had a nice premiere at the Munich Film Festival, and it kind of took us all over the world also with a nice screening in Palm Springs, 2013. And yeah, so that kind of kicked things off. And then I did a film for German television while working on a documentary about the most legendary bouncers in Berlin, Berlin Bouncer. Mm-hmm. And my second feature film, which was a romantic rom-com called Rate Your Date. Things kind of took off after that, basically. And I dived into series because series was booming, and I got to shoot two series, and came back to making feature films with Long Story Short, or Feste und Freunde, as it's called in German.
Which brings me to my next question, because obviously you have a wide range of stories. How do you choose your stories, or how do you commit to a story even? Because I'm sure there's always several ideas and stories that you're working on or that are at the back of your mind.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, like, for example, for the feature documentary I made, Berlin Bouncer, I was actually researching on, I wanted to do a feature film which was set in Berlin nightlife. And during this research and talking especially to these bouncers, I had this epiphany that their stories, their real life stories, were so much more interesting than anything that I could probably think of and make into a script. So coming from this research, I thought, okay, no, the right method for this film would be a documentary. Basically, I came from the idea and it evolved into making this documentary, which took me, I think, 4 years, because it was in between I did other things. But I kind of see filmmaking as a whole, and for every new project, I kind of try to find out what is the right way to tackle it, with which kind of genre or film language. And then also, I was kind of disappointed doing my second feature film. I had the feeling I don't have enough time to tell the story I really want to tell about my characters. So I was really intrigued by the possibility of doing series and having more time to kind of, to, you know, tell different aspects of characters. But to answer your question, really, I have to say it's mostly the topic, which to some extent has to do something with me. And I think it's becoming more obvious that what it has to do with me, but all films I did were connected to something that was an issue in my life at that point, more on a personal level or something that I was really dealing with. And so when I read a script or when I develop a story, it kind of needs this emotional core. Mm-hmm. But that's, you know, it can be everything. But if there's something I read which has to do with myself on an emotional level, but then is obviously set, I mean, somewhere completely else in different time, but it needs to trigger me somewhere very near to my heart.
This season of Deep Dive is about comedy, or let's call them lighter-hearted films. What's interesting is that it's always, or it tends to be often described as an easy genre. Yeah, it's quite the opposite. I think it might be the hardest genre, because tone and humor are very, very specific to countries, to people. How hard is it for you as a director, if you are moving in that particular genre, to keep a balance between a certain specificity and a universality, like in trying to reach as many viewers as possible, but not betraying the characters and the story?
I mean, that's a big and good question. For me, it's not really a choice. It's how I see the world and how I kind of live my life. I always try to, even in the darkest moments, try to find the light in it and something to laugh. But I think it's what really makes good stories is to have both aspects. So I think good comedies come out of basically also tragedies and how we deal with them. And I think that's something that's also coming more and more to Germany. I think other countries have kind of done comedies in this way for a longer time.
Yeah.
And I think we're kind of catching up and seeing that there's possibility to tell comic stories or comedies or dramedies mm-hmm. about all sorts of stories. You know, it doesn't have to be light, but to do that, as you said, is not that easy. Germans are known for many things around the world, but they're not best known for their humor, which isn't as bad as people think, I would say. Sure. So give us a chance also with German comedies. So as I said in the introduction, I was really interested to see how well, for example, like this film that I just did would transport to an international audience. Obviously, there were a couple of jokes that were lost in translation, and we kind of have to also work on the subtitling again, which I saw. But then again, it was interesting to see that so much humor that works on an emotional level is universal. And mm-hmm. transports to a universal audience. And I think if you also in comedies, I think it's very important to, as you said, to kind of be true to your characters and the stories, but take it, you know, take scenes and situations to a certain level where they become funny or absurd or surprising. Yeah. I think comedy has a lot to do with expectations, what you expect to happen and something else mm-hmm. that happens instead. Or you're like, please not, you think, don't let this happen now. And you watch somebody, you know, running into this situation. And so I think comedies have to be well written, well staged. And obviously timing is key, well edited. So it is on, I think, all levels of filmmaking, it is very challenging to make a good comedy. And most of all, you need good actors. I'm very happy because I got a great cast of well-known German actors, also well-known for their performances in dramas. Mm-hmm. Now they showed also how, you know, their ability to be funny and to be comic.
Yeah. Now, the next question is a bit of a two-for-one, in a way. You mentioned that you wrote the scripts for some of your films. And first of all, I'm wondering, do you have a preference in regards to directing from your own script or from someone else's script? And also, if you write the script or wrote the script yourself, is there ever a conflict between the writer you and the director you?
I really like this question, because there's a lot to say to it. First of all, if I write things myself, there is a conflict. There mm-hmm. is a bigger conflict between the writer me and the director me. And I take things regarding the script much more personal. So
okay.
The good thing about writing the scripts is that you've spent so much time already thinking about the scenes, the characters,
yeah.
beforehand while writing, that as a director you're so firm about every sentence, every pause, every character trait, which makes you very well prepared. Mm-hmm. But it also, you kind of tend to lack the flexibility mm-hmm. to change things, because especially in my case it took so much time and blood and to get this out of myself and to put it on paper. It's so much more hurtful if somebody comes along and says, this doesn't work, or couldn't we do it like this? And actually, that's how I like to work as a director. I like to be open in the process to new ideas of the team of the actors. bringing it into the process. And I learned if it's not my own script, I can be more open to that as a director. And that's something that I'm really looking forward to writing again also.
Yeah.
I want to write again because I think I'm at a point now in my life and in my career that I have enough life experience and a film experience that I want to put this into writing again, into a script. I want to learn also then to, when I start shooting it or preparing it as a director, to let go, even if I've written it myself.
It's the kill your darlings.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I couldn't really tell you. I'm very happy to be in this situation right now where I have other people writing for me or with me, because everything I've done until now, I was, even if I'm not credited as a writer, I kind of went all the way from the idea to the script with the writers. Everything I've done until now was things that I was attached to right from the beginning. But then again, now that I've been shooting every year for the past 5 years, I couldn't been doing this if I would have to write in between. And I love to shoot and I love to make films. So I think this, how I kind of built it, that I have people that I'm developing with that are writing, that maybe even write for sure faster and probably even better than me. And I'm still very much in the process of developing the scripts together with them. And I also have the leeway during shooting to change the scenes and the dialogue while we go along. So this is also something that's very important for me, that I have the possibility that when things are going into shooting, that the script can change and the scenes can evolve through the work with especially the actors. And so I haven't, you know, been given a script and said, this is finished and you have to shoot it exactly how it is. I think that's something that wouldn't work. But having other people write with me, for me, I think is actually the best, because I'm just a slow writer.
Talking about scenes, can you tell us your favorite scene from Long Story Short, and maybe also give our listeners a bit of a behind the scenes background, why this is your favorite scene? Maybe it was a lot of fun to do it, or maybe it was especially difficult or emotional.
So, I mean, the big challenge in Long Story Short was that it's basically a film where you have an ensemble of 10 to 11 main actors, which are basically in every scene told over the course of 7 festivities, parties. And I was so much, because I loved the work with actors, and I thought the more the merrier. So just, you know, give me many good actors and it's going to be a lot of fun. It was the case to a certain extent, but then again, obviously you need so many shots for each actor, for each reaction, and you need time. And this is something, unluckily, which we didn't have. And there's one big key scene in this movie, which is now, I think it turned out to be like 5.5 minutes. It's in the first edit, I think it was nearly 8 minutes. It's a big scene at a table. Everyone's having dinner together, and the big secret kind of pops out. The affair that someone's having with someone else is being brought to the table, and this was really a challenge on the one hand, how to do this scene with so many people sitting at a table. Actually, we had this location that we got. It was a beautiful house somewhere off the coast in the Netherlands, and with a beautiful outside patio and porch. And we scouted this house actually because of the outside. And then when we were there, yeah. It was storming, it was raining, and we had to put this whole scene, 12 people, into the living room, which we thought, okay, we're never going to use because it's much too small. So put 12, mm-hmm. exactly, so 12 actors fit on this table, and then you have a film crew. We had to shoot with two cameras, otherwise we couldn't have made all the shots. And we had basically one day to do, like, I don't know, 50 setups for eight minute scene. And while they were eating, just imagine all the continuity and things that were happening. And I was kind of dreading this already. And I said, okay, this is never going to work. And then we sat together the night before the shoot with the actors. And I told them, okay, guys, I don't know how we're going to do this. We don't have enough time. How are we going to manage this? Even if we don't have enough time, let's take the time in the morning, even if it's 1 hour, 1.5 hours, to just go through it a couple of times to find something that works for everyone. And then everyone has one or two shots, you know, we can't repeat it. Everyone has one or two goes. But I think this kind of coming together in the morning, developing the scene together, on the one hand, very, very dense and tight. And then again, you can see it if you watch it with an audience, to a certain point where people have to laugh to kind of mm-hmm. get rid of everything that's kind of boiled up during the scene, where the main character is having basically a monologue about her vagina, and
interesting.
Call it the vagina monologue. Yeah. So, and this is the heart piece of the film, and then it ends on a sad note again, and I think it's so beautiful because it condenses everything that this film is about. It starts kind of light. It becomes dramatic. It has a climax where everyone kind of bursts out as an audience, and then it ends again on a kind of dramatic and sad note. And this is all condensed in one scene with all the actors. And it was an energy and the magic that happened on that shooting day, knowing that there was no chance that we could actually get this done, and we did.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously you mentioned it, and we all know that it takes a lot of time and sweat and tears and joy, hopefully as well, to make a feature film or a series. How hard is it for you to say goodbye to the characters and their story when you've spent so much time with them? Are you happy to let them out into the world? Are you weary? Are you what's your usual emotional state?
It's also mixed, I have to say. I mean I'm luckily, as a director, you still get to spend so much more time with your characters than, for example, the actors or the rest of the team. I mean, after the shooting, it's over for them until they come back into the dubbing studio. And for me, I now actually, after shooting is the time which I really love. The first couple of weeks in the editing room, just with my editor and me, trying to find the story again and in a new sense. And so I really kind of have like half a year after the shooting to kind of slowly let go, to kind of change things. And even, and I love it to the end, even in the dubbing studio, where you can still, just with little changes in pronunciation, still change things of the film. And then in the end, bring it all together in the mixing studio. So for me, I think I'm perfectly fine with kind of saying slowly goodbye over six, 7 months after finished shooting. Now it kind of comes back. It's the film, and now it's about the reactions. And that's also, I have to say, that's why I love making comedies and seeing them with an audience in the movies, is the reaction that mm-hmm. you get. Because, I mean, if you make a drama and people sit there for 2 hours, because, you know, they're so tense. It can still be a good movie, but as a director, you're like, do they like it? Do they not like it? But having a comedy and sitting there and having the people laugh in the right moments is such an incredible, a rewarding feeling.
Now, for the end, we have a few rapid fire questions for you. Is there a particular story that you would still like to tackle?
Well, there was a particular story, but Peter Jackson did a very good job, and it just came up.
Damn.
With Lord of the Rings, but so there is a genre. I really want to do fantasy sometimes, so that's still something that's on my bucket list. And even if it's not Lord of the Rings, I'm still looking for the right project.
All right. What would you say, coming from a film family as well and being so steeped in the film industry, what is the biggest misconception in the world outside of the film industry about the work of a director and maybe also of a writer?
Outside, I think the misconception is I would like the people to know more how much teamwork it is, because I think the director is being, you know, put in the first row, and the actors, and now even more the writers, but I would like, you know, the outside world to know how much of a teamwork it is, and the people, you know, they sit there at the end of the film rolling titles and they're like the name of a couple of hundred people. But kind of understanding that you need all of these people and everyone, you know, contributed to the film. I think that's important. You know, obviously, I think it's great to be seen as a director, as a creator of a film. But I would really love all the other people that you need and contributed to a film to be seen a bit more.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier that you did some work with Ari and learned how to, you know, work with cameras with film. And how has the work changed over the course of the years? I mean, technically, obviously, a lot has changed, but was there another change, maybe external or maybe also internal, how you approach the work in the last few years?
Well, I have to say, I'm very happy I don't have to shoot on film anymore. yeah, it gives you the possibility to just shoot more. But I think coming from a time or learning from a time where you still shot on film, the beauty was to really know what you were going to do and kind of combining that to really have an idea of what you want to do and how you do it, but having the possibility to just do a couple more takes every time and try things out during the process, because for me, always the magic really just happens in the moment when the camera is rolling and everything comes together. I mean, even as good as you're prepared with the actors, with the reading, rehearsing, everything, how much you put it together, really, it really just comes together in that single moment while you're shooting it. And to be able to be flexible in that sense, I'm very happy about it. Technological advance that we made shooting digital.
And finally, I know you're still in the middle of promotion and the film is coming out in 5 weeks, as you mentioned, but can you share which project you are or maybe you will be working on next? Is there anything on the horizon?
Well, there's nothing on the horizon, but there's something on the table, actually. I'm about to go to the editing room because I just finished shooting my new feature film 4 weeks ago.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. So I just had a couple of days holiday and I'm going to go to the editing room, and I'm very much looking forward to seeing the first edit of the new film, which is a comedy based on a old Bavarian kind of fairy tale, and it's a ghost story. It's about a father coming back and getting the chance to come back into his life, and the only one that can see him is his daughter, his teenage daughter, and they didn't have the best of relationships, and he kind of has to make up for it with her help. And yeah, so this is gonna be my work for the next couple of months. We just finished shooting and I'm very much looking forward to it. And has some supernatural elements to it, and will probably be premiering sometime next summer.
Okay. Very cool. Yeah. Something to look forward to. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us today. It was a pleasure. And well, good luck for the editing process, and even more good luck for the start of the movie.
Thank you very much. It was great to be here.
Deep Dive Genre is produced by German Films, the National Information and Advisory Center for the Promotion of German Films Worldwide. To find out more about our guests, check out the links in our show notes. To stay up to date with our episodes, subscribe wherever you find your podcasts.